You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. Dr. Bill Frankland, who is an allergy specialist, he is also 105 years old. Dr. Frankland, good morning.
Good morning to you.
What's your secret?
I'm just very, very lucky. I always say I'm lucky, and people say, how is it that I've lived all this time? And I say, I've been so near death so many times, but I've always just escaped. That's why I am still alive.
And does carrying on working help with that?
I think, well, if I didn't work, I'm fascinated by medicine in general, and allergy in particular, which is my subject. But there's so much to learn all the time. And if I wasn't reading a lot about modern advances, what would I do at the age of 105? There's very little else you can do. I read occasional books, but I haven't time for that.
And what do you do now for work?
I have various journals that I have to read. They come monthly and so on. So I try to keep really up to date with various things. And people are always asking me to go to various do's and take part in conversations and lectures and so on. I mean, I've got the annual general meeting of the British Allergy Society. That's in October, and I've been invited to that. I hope I'll be well enough to go to it.
And so, although I'm assuming you no longer treat patients, you're still able to contribute in a really serious way to a pretty vital area that makes a big difference to a lot of people.
Well, being really up to date, the General Medical Council doesn't allow me to see patients, but I still see some grateful patients that I've seen for 40 years, and they are more or less social. But even last Friday, two people came from Saudi Arabia, from Riyadh. I used to go there quite a lot. And here's a prince, and he says, I've come to see Dr. Frankland. And so I can't really say, I won't see him. So I go along, but there's another doctor there that gives advice, and I pretend that I'm only there socially because the General Medical Council says that I'm not fit enough to treat patients. And,
well, your secret's safe with us. Don't worry. No. They won't be adding up anyway. Yeah, but what's your daily routine?
Well, I get up after 9 normally, not this morning. So
apologies for that.
I then have breakfast, and then I have a shower and so on, dress up, and then I have all sorts of exercises for my muscles, because when you're aged over 100, your muscles all start disappearing, and it's difficult getting up out of a chair. So for 1 hour, I have various exercises for my muscles, and also for I'm not very steady and so on. So there are all these things that I almost religiously do every morning, and that takes an hour. So somewhere after 11 and sometimes nearly 12, I then think, what's in the post today? And the post can be very large, but I have a marvelous secretary. Suzanne looks after me very, very well, tells me what programs I've got and who I should write to and what I should do. So I'm very busy. And even when lunch comes along, I may not have dealt with the problems that the post seems to have brought.
And you were born, I mean, just thinking at the range of your life, the things that you've seen, but also the things that you saw in your early life. You were born, what, in 1912?
1912, yes, right.
And you qualified when?
I qualified in 1938. After leaving Oxford, I did my clinical work at St. Mary's Hospital, Paddington, and that's almost been my home. Then I was 6.5 years in the army. I joined up 3 days before war started, as it happened, so I thought I'd be in the right place at the right time.
And is it the case that you actually knew and worked with Alexander Fleming?
Well, right at the last 2 years of his life, I was very friendly with him, but I had to see him every morning at 10 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I was supposed to talk about patients, but although he was a brilliant man in many ways, he wasn't interested in clinical medicine. He was a bacteriologist. We talked about all sorts of things, and I should really have written a book then of what we talked about. But no, he was to me a marvellous man in very many ways.
Well, perhaps it's not too late to write that book. I know you write quite a lot. You could add it to your list.
Well, no. In fact, someone is writing my life history because they think it's interesting.
Ah.
That will come out early next year, I expect.
In that case, perhaps we shouldn't give too much away, but we should give a little bit away, because you were a prisoner of war as well, of the Japanese, weren't you, for a bit?
Yes, I was taken on the 15th of February 1942. That was when Singapore fell, and I was a prisoner of war for 3.5 years. But luckily, I lived. In fact, there were 3 times when I was a prisoner of war when I thought I wasn't going to live. And I don't know if you know that if the Americans had arrived in Japan itself, or say from Philippines, that's what they're going to do, the emperor had given the order that all prisoners of war, wherever they were, and that was 120,000, had to be shot that day. We learned that afterwards, but we wondered why suddenly the parade ground, where we had to parade every morning at 6 o'clock, there were these obvious machine gun posts set up, and we thought, well, that would be the end of us. But the atom bomb saved our lives, in fact.
A lucky escape for you, and we'll look forward to the book coming out. And I know that you are busy. You've got other things to do to say today, so we will let you go. But Dr. Bill Franklin, thank you very much for talking to us.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.